Broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
And hello, everybody. So sorry that you got there before we did. And I trust that everything now will go more smoothly. So we're recording, and I think if Michael is there, that someone over here on staff, either BL or Michael, would be recording. And can you let us know which of you is, or maybe both of you are? I finally have a...
I'm recording. I'm recording, Michael.
Lines from which things have to be coming in, and so far I have not mastered that. In any case, we're going to begin with the idea of the tail end, which was supposed to be, of Eleanor's presentation, which was basically the 5 o'clock mantram. And I'm going to say that one more time to you, says that I think it did not really come across. So let's try that. May the power of the one life pour through the group of all true servers. May the love of the one soul characterize the lives of all who seek to raise great ones. May we fulfill our part in one work through self-forgetfulness, harmlessness, and right speech. Okay, and I'm not sure about our volume here. I think it's maybe a little low. But, and I'm not sure whether I can hear Michael or BL, or anyone for that matter.
Michael, can you hear me?
But now let's work on the idea of the strengthening of the new group of world service, not just its founding. The founding is very interesting. The strengthening, let's just say this, and I'll just repeat what is written here. A strong subjective relation exists between all servers of the planet. We'll ponder on that for just a moment. Subjective relationship exists between all servers of the client. And not just necessarily on the same level. There are these vertical relationships and also the horizontal relationships. And when you go inside yourself, in your consciousness, do you feel that there is a strong subjective relationship between you and the custodians of the plan? That's what they're called, some of the higher masters in the hierarchy, custodians of the plan. And they receive that plan from the divine contemplatives, who are called, who are initiates of the sixth degree, and they are called Nirmana Kayas. I think it has something to do with what kind of vehicle you have. I'm forgetting right now the exact translation of it, but it has to do with that, and they are minimally of the sixth degree, and they are intermediaries. The Nirmanakayas are intermediaries. I wonder what that beeping sound. Well,
you're breathing, actually.
Oh. There.
Yeah.
I beep no more. All right. And they are intermediaries between Shambhala, where the true plan is really formulated as the divine purpose, and then the higher levels of hierarchy, which are called the custodians of the plan. So you feel that. I mean, when you reach out in consciousness to some of the initiates, well, fellow disciples, of course, and the initiates, and these senior members of an ashram, and the masters of an ashram, and the ray rulers of an ashram, like Master Moria, he's one. Master Kulumi is another. The Venetian master is another, with the third ray, and so forth. Ray rulers of an ashram. Do you feel that there is a strong subjective, even if still imperfect, relationship between you and these higher guides of the race? And of course, naturally, you will find more connection with some of them than with others, depending on your ray, pretty much. Now, you know, look, we're into a big second ray teaching here. The fourth ray rules the new group of world servers, but eventually the Christ prevails. Right now, does anybody know what are the rays of humanity as a whole? Or hazard a guess? So the fourth ray is there, right? Fourth kingdom, fourth ray of hierarchy, and what else? Manus. Manus. It's the fifth. It's right now the fourth and the fifth, interestingly enough. But it won't always be that way. It is, and the new group of world servers will help. Taurus, by numerical resonance, will be connected with the second ray. No matter what else, because it's the second sign, no matter what else we say about it, you know, that it crashes through and it has this first ray power, and it does, it has all that. Eventually, it will have a second ray connection, especially along the line of wisdom. Like the Buddha, you know, the Taurus is the Buddha's sign, right? The old story is, he was born at the full moon in Taurus. He achieved his supreme, for him, enlightenment at the full moon in Taurus, and he died, or consciously went through all the meditative stages, and at the age of 80, see, watch this, very interesting, the relationship of the Buddha to the number 8, he went into the atomic and monadic era. So he achieved his temporary nirvana. Look, you know, I love it from the book, well, it's by Evans Wentz. It's Tibetan yoga and, you know, some other thing. And he says, he's a man who wrote about multi-dimensional consciousness. Okay, well, we all have that, if we would only realize it. So, he said that nirvana, well, what do you think nirvana is? What do you think?
Pure enlightenment.
Is it like the final enlightenment? You know, it's so interesting. I talked with some Buddhists And they say, well, look, you know, it doesn't make any difference if you're a god or if you're a planet or if you're a whatever. You can't go any higher than Nirvana. But wait a second.
This is mine.
This is me.
No, it is mine.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, Julia is becoming shy suddenly. Ah, there we go. It all looks so similar, right? The beginning of the endless way. Think about that. Nirvana is but the beginning of the endless way. Well, if it's endless, was it also beginningless? And therein come some of the paradoxes. And yes, it was beginningless too. You've always been doing it. And who are you anyway? The thing that does things, you know, the actor. So I love that idea that, you know, the Buddhists may say, enlightenment like the Buddha, that's as far as any being can go, that's it. But I think that's a very erroneous attitude. And it's the same thing that keeps the Islam from saying nothing beyond what Muhammad said, and fundamentalist Christians saying nothing beyond what's in the Bible, you know what I mean? And the red letter version of the Bible, that's the last word. No, none of those things are true. So anyway, this is a coherence, an increasingly coherent, integrated group. Eleanor was talking about Jupiter, Capricorn, and it's said of Jupiter that it's the force that brings all things together, and it creates wholes, you know, wholeness, you might say, holism. And that's happening more and more. I think Julia mentioned the other, there was no other day, so it must have been today, that the new group of world servers would be slated to take the place of the Buddha eventually. Because, well, it's a very high group. Don't forget, we think of servers like ourselves. But there are third degree, fourth degree initiates out there, and the masters themselves are, in terms of a phrase which has recently emerged from one of our colleagues, the planetary server. So the Buddha won't always be coming to the Wayside Valley. As a matter of fact, we don't even know whether that is completely the case anymore. When I worked at the Arcane School, the year 1981 occurred, and Mary Bailey, who was the head of the Arcane School and the Lucis Trust, she basically said, okay, that's it, that's 35 years, that's 3.5 decades since the 1946 Waysack message was set down by the Tibetan. And he said the Buddha might be coming for another 3 or 4 decades, you know, something like that. Maybe the Buddha has changed his whole approach here. And is sorry. And is waiting for the rising up of the initiates who are being trained. Now think of it. If you're a real disciple, I guess we all like to be a real disciple, you know, we would be in training for initiation, one initiation or another. And Master DK trains people now for the first, the second, and the third initiation, not for the fourth. So our job as a member of this increasingly coherent group of servers who are subjectively organized and not like some, we're at this address in Manhattan and we're on such a floor and all that. None of that's true. It's an inner relationship that we have with each other. And do we feel it? That's the question. You know, when you think in the direction of the masters, is it just like a name and an image, and, or is it something more? That's the question. You know, think about the master that you feel most connected with for a moment. And I will venture to say that more than your concrete mind is involved. Wouldn't you say so? The concrete mind is very superficial. It's okay, we need it. And we have to have a basis of facts. It's basically the archetype of the fifth ray mind. Whereas the higher mind adds the dimensions of the second ray into the mix. So we have to be increasingly sensitive, wouldn't you say? Increasingly sensitive. And then we're allowed to really feel what this ageless wisdom is all about.
Dearest, we have only about 45 minutes, 40 minutes.
Okay.
So Elena has good words. Can we? Could we go into this subject, new word?
You want to get into the subject?
Yes, and it's funny. But Elena has very good points. It's interesting.
Well, but you can speak any time.
Well, yeah. If we move the subject, okay?
Yeah, just go ahead and talk. I'll be quiet for a very short time. what is our subject? Oh, yes. Whatever rolls out of
the mind. Your servers and its founding.
No, the strengthening.
No, dear.
Oh, no, I'm not leaving on strengthening.
Michael, it's only when we have this silence, we have been practicing 1 year,
dear.
We have silence, which is strengthening in your servers.
Well, it's more than that. I mean, I agree with you, it's strengthening. And why bother? See, here's the method. How do you strengthen? We'll just act as if we can think, okay? How do you strengthen the capacity of the new group of world service? How do you do it? What do you think?
Service.
Did you say service?
I did.
You did, okay. Now you're down for service then.
And you know, these meditations, like when we have this 12 o'clock, 5 o'clock, the evening, the morning, reflections, all of those, they are those which are subject to the strengthening.
Yeah.
And in every way, in our practical life, do many kinds of things, you know, bless people, yeah, certain practical ways.
I would say that's correct. And I would also say that the way that the Tibetan approaches it is you have to understand what they're doing. See what I mean? There are 10 different secrets. There are 7 different ashrams. There are all these specialized groups that are contributing in a new way to humanity's uplift, right? So the old saying is, I don't know where it comes from, maybe it's the Bible. It says, first, beget ye understanding. First, get ye understanding. So that's why he writes a book like The Problems of Humanity. He says, it will, you hear? Someone in heaven is busy.
I think someone in the group has now their mic on and they are doing their research.
Okay, anyway. We have to understand what they are actually doing. That's extremely important. And he said that if you read the problems of humanity with understanding, you will already be strengthening those who are involved with the problems themselves already. And they will have new alternatives. Now also, is if the cows are coming home? Is this melting guy with the whole branch here?
Can you say it's Joe? Ask Joe that.
No, it's not Joe. It's who is Joe? It's Joe Biel and Michael.
I muted Joe. I think it was Joe. She just came on and I muted her.
Live, thank
hey,
you.
Hey, it's so good to hear a voice coming out of our little projector. You're the first. Okay. So, this whole idea, what do you do with your mind? No, this is all part of it. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Can we go on? Okay. The founding. Okay. Anyway, well, let me make a point. I won't go on forever here because popular opinion is against it. That is dependent on my wife. Okay. You have a mind.
Yes.
You have an imagination. You have, some of us still have, some do, the ability to act on the physical plane. How are these consecrated? To what are they dedicated? Now, you know, sometimes it doesn't take much to be disturbed by the counterattack which is occurring on the inner planes through those brothers of the form that emphasize the lower part of man at this time. So what do? Sit around and say, oh my gosh, they're getting the better of us, or do I really get to work? And I'm the one that I'm such a one that chooses to get to work with my imagination, with my thought especially, and to project these forms into the midst of the fire so that they can have some effect. Asha, yes, go ahead.
Projecting through thoughts and feelings and co-creating, but the most important for me, my understanding, would be the alignment with the soul, the vertical.
Well, you know, that's indispensable, of course.
So that would strengthen the most.
Yes, and then, of course, you know there are people who simply align, they think they do, and then they don't do anything, and, you know, in a physical way. And I remember the Tibetan talking about and say, look, you're all pretty good meditators, but it's not enough to just meditate. He said, and then this was in the middle of the Second World War, and he said, okay, X, Y, and Z, who are not even disciples, are doing more for the war effort than you are. You know, and so we keep on adding our abilities, and we use them all as appropriate. He knew so much more about the complicated lives of the people, and he did the best to encourage them to live practical outer lives as well as, but lives that, like you say, are really in alignment. That was the key, of course. Otherwise, you just run around and, you know.
My 40 minutes.
What, dear?
40 minutes.
Yes. And I know even, there's something that you know.
No, I decided I will integrate it on 27 My presentation.
Okay. Alan is whispering because something is in store. Okay, very good. Okay, so can you strengthen the new group of world servers through the power of your thought? Absolutely. Through the power of your imagination? Absolutely. Through the visualization of the correct color, the correct notes. You know, sometimes I see, I don't know, we all have different ways, don't we? But I see the entire United States flooded with the color of its soul ray, which is indigo. I just see it all over. And I see it overcoming this Martian redness, which is out of the personality at this time. Now, you know, you have to be careful with color, careful with sound, but there, and the mantras, of course, that you can use internally can have a very powerful effect. Right now, many things hang in the balance, and DK said there could be delay. It may be probably not more than 300 years. But that's a long time, isn't it? Remember back in the good old days in the 1690s? I don't remember too much. I don't know if you do, but you know, it seems a long time, doesn't it? Right? Okay. All right, now I'm being encouraged to move on. Okay. Now, in order to move on, since there may be some people waiting at that particular, what I'm going to do is close down this little meeting and geez, what is the next one here? The founding of the new group of world servers. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Just like, what do they say? You know, the sign Cancer is the slowest, Pisces moves with a medium rate, and Capricorn just scampers over everything, right? Okay. So, the Tibetan knows a lot about little details involving the signs, you know. And we have different, you know, we've got to do our physiognomy book and all that because we are a symbol and we can be read like a symbol. The inner human being comes out in the face and the body and the actions and emotions, and then you will get to know your fellow human beings, which is not a bad thing to do if you're going to be a master. One fine sunny day, wake up in the morning, this is the day. Okay, it won't be for a little while yet, just take it easy. All right. So here we go. Michael, and BL and Joe, I'm going to go on to the next little session. That means I'm going to cut this one short. And hope that everybody shows up.
Wait. can you hear me, Michael? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
You're okay.
All right. I just want to tell you that this one that you're working on right now is supposed to be the NGWS in its founding. So, isn't that the one you think you're getting ready to go to? So please just continue with your new subject on this particular webinar.
Isn't it nice of you to come from so far away speaking to such a lousy speaker? We have a little machine here, but we recognize you. Who are you? Is this the other show?
This is BL, your organized mind.
Ah, she's in Florida and she's communicating with us through this very cheap little machine. All right. It doesn't make a lot of noise. We have one of the big Chinese ones, you know. You put it there, the table strains and groans, and then you turn it on, and if you're sitting in the back of it, it's like a hurricane of hot air. So we decided we would invest in something, you know, moderate. All right, we'll keep going now. Founding. Now, I'll just ask you, what has to happen? You know, there's more to say about strengthening. Okay, anyway.
You have every day, you know, we have that 5 o'clock mantra. If you have been studying this, our program, you would have been noticing that there's every day.
Did you sense something subtle when you said that? It's sort of like if you had been studying that kind of thing, you know? Okay.
So every day you can continue.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, you know, the new group of world servers didn't always exist. Great initiates did. And great teachers did, and they introduced the idea of immortality, and they introduced a high form of morality. When you said, you know, giants, there were giants in those days, you know, in the Bible. And we say, well, why do we have any skeletons of the giants? But we do. We have skeletons of the giants. I saw a fascinating thing. Some guy in Tibet, he was a ruler, and next to him, the picture's about 100 years old, 2 15-foot bodyguards. Imagine, 15 feet tall. And that's just that they were only up to the waist of a lot of the others. And you see pictures of these rather immoral men chasing after buffaloes as if they're a handful. See what I mean? So there was a time when humanity did not have the kind of standard of values that it now has. That's what I'm driving at. Yeah.
So is it not, when we think about why the new global service came into existence, that when thinking about what is that to be as a human being? Why are we here on Earth? We call ourselves humanity. What is that? So why do we have this kind of thing like human being? And why do we have disciples or aspirants?
Yes. Redemption process.
Redemption process, exactly. So there is this going on, and as DK was saying, that when the heart of our planet started to open, so then there were those great beings in Sirius who were recognizing that the earlier humanity, who was then those great ones, whatever the meeting was, but then came a group of those great ones, the great angels, to help us to move further. And that is a sign when we have that kind of group, as we call the new group of world servers, that the first time here happened that kind of event, that also human beings the soul in incarnation could in incarnation take a part, concrete part. And this is a huge thing, because when we just think about these millions of years, how slow has been evolvement and the movement, and then comes that all kinds of abilities would have to be in place. When came that first time that this kind of group would actively be on that side of the veil and be connected, those directing forces, as we call the masters, who are looking after to what direction humanity should go. So that is a big thing also when thinking about solar system. It is a big thing that kind of thing has happened on Earth.
Earth is largely the recipient of the life forms of the previous solar system. There was a whole lot going on in the intelligence solar system which did not rise up to the standard of the love, wisdom, energy. And it's very interesting that Earth, with its second-race soul, the only other one around is Jupiter, I think so, is a redemption experiment to take the energies of the previous solar system and see if you can transform them into something that is much more like love, wisdom. And then those energies would fit our solar system, because after all, it's the same being, isn't it? I mean, look, our solar logos is the same being, isn't he? Right now, he has a second-rate personality and a second-rate soul. But in the previous solar system, however many trillions of years ago it was, he had a third-rate personality and a second-rate soul. And does anybody want to guess what the next solar system will be? What do you think?
First-rate
personality and a second-rate soul. And by that time, the monadic ray of our very, contentious solar logos will be really changing into the second ray. So, will we be here? What is our path into the future? We're talking about all these wonderful things, but do we know where we'll really be? Not yet, not until we're masters and have what's called the revelation, which opens up a vision of the paths you can take. How many paths are there?
Eight.
Nine.
Didn't the Earth have its own seven root races, and then the redemptive beings from the you're talking about the laggards from the other solar system? So didn't the Earth have its own inherent root races?
From the other solar system came three types in the main. Those who were so advanced they could become solar angels. And they went on to Sirius, Venus and Sirius, for training. Those who are the black magicians, and they were initiates along the line of intelligence, and they came over, but with a lot of determination to preserve what they were good at. Sometimes you say to a person, well, look, why don't you try something else, maybe like love, or something. No, I'm good at intelligence, I'll just stick to that, And we see human beings like that too, don't we? And then there were the nomads, who are largely associated with the Jewish group, and they, very intelligent, and coming over, but with a lot to learn, walking the bridge that Saturn created to get to this particular solar system. So, all that's being worked out right now. Master G, now this is my guess, okay? I'm giving you my, what I think it is. Master Moria, Moses. Master Jesus, Joshua, he says. And Master R, Hiram Abiff, the great architect of King Solomon's temple. Master Hilarion, fanatical Hebrew, fanatical, until, on the road to Damascus, he met his match, the Christ principle. D.K. basically says, look, put Judas to the side, Hilarion, St. Paul, is basically your 12th disciple. And all of these great characters, because they didn't have an easy time at all. I figure they're from the previous solar system. Not Master Kuduni, not Master DK, no. And DK even says it. He says that he's not from the previous solar system. And so, but they work together, And the ones from the previous solar system are colored by the number three, particularly. that intelligent thing. And he says the two rays that have the hardest time getting along are ray 2 and 3. It's interesting, you know. There was this lady, she was a first ray soul, fifth ray personality, fourth ray mind, and her main trouble was her second ray astral body and her third ray physical body. Those two things just didn't get along. See? So there's all kinds of traditions here about the ray energies. We've had so many rays. I can't say that we've been on all the rays, but people like ourselves, I would say, pretty close to being on all the rays in a certain sense. Because, look, you know, there's nobody that's going to stick with the Tibetan unless you're taking the first initiation, you know, or have taken it, or the second initiation. You're just not going to be interested. And so that indicates that you've made the essential changes. I just want to say one thing, and I've said it before, and maybe it'll come as an impressive point, that there were never any first, second, or third grade souls at the beginning of humanity. There were first, second, and third grade monads, but not any first, second, or third grade souls. So, if you figure that your soul ray is first, second, or third, you've made a change from one of the earlier rays of attribute. And it's all a science, you know? It's amazing what we've been through. And one day the movie will be shown. You'll probably be the only one interested enough to stay in the theater long enough to see it through. But that reminds me of this wonderful movie called Illusion. If you, Kirk Douglas, you know, he's about 102 years old now, 103. And if you get a chance to see this short little movie on a low budget, it's all about reincarnation, it's all about the Akashic record, and it's called Illusion. Do see it. It's
how many of you have seen it?
Really good.
Okay, we're going to see it.
We're going to see it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Without finished subtitles.
Yeah, that is it.
Yeah. You know, sometimes things walk out of the temple. You don't know quite how they disappear, but then you've got your ideas. You know? And we have one with finished subtitles. Okay. All right.
No, that was working out.
Okay. Now, the founding of the New Group of World Service. So there's a lot said here, and I'll give it to you. Basically, what's his name? Bill Roach. He did a great job. 212-page compilation on the New Group of World Service. I mean, really, that's not very patient. By the way, guess how many entries there are on Shambhala?
Oh.
Right, okay. About 730 entries on Shambhala.
Oh, you mean those?
Yes. Oh, okay, yeah. And then if you look up the word initiate or initiation or something, it's just going to be huge, you know. Just to give you an idea of what you could study if you wanted to, you know. How many of you like to study? Don't be shy. And don't be foolish. All right, you know, studying is a great thing. I always think you should study until you sense this a certain dizziness in your consciousness, and you wonder if you can stand up. Then you know you can stop for the day.
But can I tell about this experience in Tibet?
Yes.
When we went there, and do you remember that what was the name of that temple where we the huge library?
Yeah.
So what was the name of that? Sakyan. So anyway, that was a temple, and that was one of the or monastery. And that was one of those rare ones where the giants had not been destroyed. So they had the volumes of ancient scriptures, how many hundreds, thousands. Mm-hmm. So it was like 500 meters the from the bottom to the high up. I don't know how high the ceiling was, but absolutely higher than this.
Three level,
yes, those scriptures, books, ancient books. So, Risto remembers 80,000 different
80,000
volumes. And I had the opportunity and actually honor that I was invited inside this section. There is the in the monastery, the wall, which is separated from the library, and I was invited there, and I almost fainted. I have never felt in my life, honestly, the power of the word manifested via the books. They are not Western books, as you know. They are this long
books.
And so because you see those, and the presence of that kind of teaching, the I have tried to meditate that many times. What could describe the quality? Because there's something like you feel the weight, you feel the presence. It's amazing that you feel the presence of the standing beings, great ones. Mm. And you feel the wisdom, you feel that kind of sorrow or grief or lost something or something that had to be kept secret behind, something so deep sacrifice. And this also this kind of livingness that you feel it, that these letters are like little devas. They talk about those sky dancers, dakinis. It was like that they are dancing there. All these presences are there, and this sacredness that you cannot like move because you feel that you are hardly having enough in you to enter in that kind of feeling. It was so wonderful experience. There was a huge, so bigger than my arms like that, huge pillar. So I had to lean against this pillar because I really thought that I'm going to faint. The power was so strong.
And not so much has been translated.
No.
We have the ABCs, you know.
Yeah.
Of this stuff. DK said, look, I've trapped a lot of little lives in writing my books. One day I'm going to have to let them go. You know, the little Vedic lives that have been put into the words and so forth, one day they have to be set free, which always grow by being associated with the right form. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting because you could be in chaos and you wouldn't grow at all, but if you're put into the right form, whether it's a triangle, a square, or a cube, or whatever it is, you learn a lesson by relationship of within form.
Mm-hmm. And this is so, every one of us knows that when you are touched by the word of the Master, the Living One, you are uplifted, you are organized, the mind is organized.
All right, what do they call it?
Which one?
The society.
All the organized.
Organized.
And illumined.
Illumined minds. That's the hierarchy.
Yeah.
The society of organized and illumined minds. Great, great title. By the way, if you want to look up initiation, you've got 2,530 references. So that's enough to probably, ponder on this, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So anyway, how long do we have here? Not much time.
No, we have until 15 past. I would like to ask from you, how do you find the teaching in your life? What the teaching does to you?
How do you find it, or how do you act on it?
Amen. Well, both. You can choose whatever you understand by English. But what does the teaching do to you?
It helps me organize my life.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, I've become much more disciplined about the meditations I do and my thoughts and all of that. And that has come from this work and this teaching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's given me clarity in what I see as best I can, in perpetual recognizing I can always be wrong. I was talking to Helena, and actually scaling. If I see somebody or something, an idea that has value, I scale it as best I can. I give everything to that person and that idea to generate interest for everyone.
Everybody has to lift your voice a little.
I think what it reminds me of, I was going to ask you, it's what DK talks about public relations.
Right.
You know, I think that with the kind of media that we have,
yeah,
gives us an access to make an impress in a public relations way to get these ideas that people support.
Right.
I mean,
make them palatable, interesting.
Yes.
I mean, why must some of us take ideas that are so interesting and present them in such a uninteresting way? So we have to learn the method of presentation.
Yes, and it's about the excitement. I mean, things, when you feel or see something, wow, let's look at it.
And that's the white magical process, you see. You can have a nice thought form floating up there, but unless it is embodied by enthusiasm, it's not heading into incarnation.
Yes.
So, do you find yourself, as long as Tuya has asked the question, do you find yourself inspired by the teaching? Do you find yourself illumined by the teaching? Enthused by the teaching? What is it? It means like to breathe in a God, isn't that it? Like or inspired is like you breathe in the deity, or enthused is the same idea. And, you know, lifted by something that's higher than we are.
And guided.
Yeah, and that too. And that too, yeah. But of course, then you can never pin DK down. That's the thing about him. He says, finally, how much of the mountain of vision have you climbed for yourself? In other words, we say, hey, we stand on the shoulders of giants. That's wonderful. We can see wonderful things. And he says, how much have you climbed for yourself?
Exactly. So I remember one closing ceremony that Tuya said something like beheading the mind. And that's always rings in my ears, those words.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of me that doesn't want to use the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? How do you reconcile that?
Well,
I'm more working on my heart or what?
What I would be thinking is that everybody knows that the concrete mind is the killer.
The concrete mind.
The concrete mind is the killer. If we think about life that and being past knots, if we cannot go beyond, it is very boring. We have spirit within, and the spirit wants to all the time release itself and have a greater freedom, because somehow we know within us that that is what is the most true of us. And I think the concrete mind is the kind of prison for us. We need it. It has to be there because it has been. Who was this, the greatest one who saw that kind of thing has to appear? But that is a prison. But it's like the tool that is meant for certain things. But then we can think about the animal mind, and we can follow the minds. So, but this is also on the ladder for us to follow that. But this the idea of the John the Baptist, that he is in the end beheaded.
If you're in the isness,
and you're identifying as being, then does not the mind just stop still?
Well, Let's say this. It can stop still for registration, and it can be applied to express what has been registered. You need both. The DK is filled with concrete-minded things, and you wouldn't want to overlook chemistry or physics or, you know, how you handle metals and all these things that our perceptions reveal to us. You wouldn't want that to be unknown. But there was a time when we were pretty well drifting on the astral plane during Atlantean times. The concrete mind was a great anchor in some kind of safe place, and the DK talks about that. But now he tells us that one of the reasons that the new esoteric schools are being founded is to avoid the concrete mind going too far.
Right.
You see, it's so interesting because he says you wouldn't believe the lords of form, you know, brothers in the last analysis, but you know, the Black Lodge, how far they have taken the development of the concrete mind. Along some Deva line, which is not the legitimate line, some line of Mahat, you know, you wouldn't believe how much they have done. Now that's just out of balance. And the astral body is out of balance and reactive, and the physical body is weak. I mean, relatively to what you may need. So the new esoteric schools are supposed to combat all of that and produce balance. They're lower things, okay? But they're also necessary things.
You know, about this, going back to that, there was some kind of revelation during this Sagittarian full moon when we were looking at the light which is released in Sagittarius, that it is that light which comes out from the point of light. And it gave me such a big insight that, I don't know, can I bring it for you, but for me it was that I was understanding how important is that kind of light, because it takes you from that, if we say point of concretization, we need to have it. It has been and it is serving its course, but if it is like Michael was pointing out, if it becomes that it's just serving there. So it kills the spirit.
It kills the
spirit. Kills the spirit. The livingness. We start to repeat, and the life force just goes down and down. So that the Sagittarian light that which comes out from the point of light, it comes as a beam. And that beam reveals a greater light. So I was thinking like this, I don't know if that's true, but thinking about the mental unit, you could think that that is a kind of point of light. But then the soul is calling you, you go forward further. So then comes the beam of light, and then you see the greater light, your soul. And that illumines the path which leads to the center of the light, which is Shambhala.
So that's from knowledge to wisdom. That's what that point to bear, that's what that's describing.
Yeah. And like every one of us, we feel it, we know it, when this livingness takes over. All the circumstances are the same, but still this is living with us, and I think the Sagittarius is so important energy, and it is the one who is guarding the gate, and the guarding the gate is that they're preparing us for the initiation. So I think it is never wise to just deny everything, being very black and white. Actually, it is that we have to be very black and white about life. So there is not any middle. We either are or we are not. And in that process, we have to study ourselves that how much we are enthusiastic about life, how much we love life, or how much the life takes us, how much we are able to see beyond through all this chaos and problems and so forth. So in that sense, it is a good training point for all of us to study, because the mind really can kill us. The concrete mind can kill. But it is also the stairways for the revealing the greater light as well.
And just to bring this in the mind-body part, you get that clarity from the structure itself.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows that? That's a very, very special moment to trust a structure with discernment. You trust a structure
mm-hmm.
in
your own mm-hmm.
And this beautiful structure you've created in the DKS and what you have access to. It's not a trap, it's a joy.
The skeleton.
It's a skeleton.
Right, yeah.
Operate.
Right.
Well, I was just saying what you had said was so impactful about the idea that the structure is what you can give
us. Oh, yes, yes.
The place from which we operate, the clarity from here.
You've got to be built into a form.
Mm-hmm. It's so
and at last, the universe is that form. Mm-hmm. In other words, this is the opposite of chaos. You know, the Pythagoreans, they didn't like chaos. They didn't like infinity, they didn't like chaos. And probably the worst, one of the worst experiences of his life was Pythagoras went down to a grotto or something like that, and he rested, he took a nap, and he awoke with this horrific dream about infinity and the number two, and all that could be generated from it. You know, they really liked their geometry put in place. But there is something for it. When DK arranges the disciples, he's got these diagrams. Okay, you three in the middle, now you take this triangle, 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 and you work in that way.
But that is a vehicle.
Yes?
That is a vehicle.
Yeah. It's a vehicle of sustained impact.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
If the chaos is, you may never meet the same blob at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if you are there, you have to keep on interacting with those that are around you. And this is the reason, why should the infinite become finite, okay? And this is, don't get me started. Anyway, this is one of the reasons, because of the sustained impacts of value on yourself due to holding your position. And that's why when people are running all over the place, forgetting where they belong. Master Moria says it doesn't take much. The messenger can be at the door and the disciple runs off into the woods. The messenger's knocking at the door and the disciple is going to disappear. See, the instability of the average disciple, we need to, then that's why a school like the Moria Federation with its 5, 7, 8, 10 years, whatever it takes, is of value. And so it will be for the new esoteric schools. I would expect that some of you, I know I do, have a longing to be part of such a rigorous school. And he says you'll have to pass a drastic entrance examination, and your karma will be looked up to see whether you can fit into the scheme of things, you know what I mean? So we have to be good and really learn how to get ourselves Vulcan, right? Under control. Yeah. All right. Well, look, I think, it's probably almost time.
It is.
I just want to say one thing more. What's our subject?
Or do you mean...
The founding. 1925.
Conclave.
The great conclave of the Masters of Wisdom in 1925. That is so important for the developments in the 20th century, and also for the wars that occurred. Not, you know, the war, the end all war, it was World War I, but it turns out it wasn't. It just went underground. And whenever the lords of form find the lighted people of the world getting too close to the light, they stage the counterforce. And that's what's happening even right now. So in 1925, interesting about the 25 part of it, because it connects with the fourth ray, 25, see, and the Buddhist plane. And so many of the groups of souls move in their focus up onto the Buddhist plane. And this made a whole new relationship possible between the members of the ashrams. And you know what it is? They became more fluid. X and Y were so interesting. Mary Bailey and Foster Bailey were first ray souls. They ended up being in charge of the second ray, Lucis Trust Arcane School. Very interesting. Alice Bailey died in 1949, and then onward until 84, Mary Bailey and Foster Bailey, first ray, were strengthening the second ray group. Daniel Enton is a second ray soul. He just died recently. He's a wonderful guy. And here he is leading the first ray Agni Yoga group. What's happening? The fluid interconnection and the mutual assistance of the different ashrams is coming to the fore. It's not like this is like so rigid, maybe the way it used to be. So, thus there is two. A subjective group, largely inspired by the intuition and the love energy, is gathered together. Who knows exactly the gathering? There's probably some, it's part of the plan of the planetary logos. And anyway, it was a big subjective happening, coincided with the moving up of the soul groups onto the Buddhic plane. The scientific groups sometimes stayed where they were, the higher mental plane, and the will governing groups went to the Atman plane. But, you know, by and large, this is the secondary solar system. Now, hey, whoever answers this question gets a special prize from two. How many Deva units in the second solar system?
Wow.
And by the way, these are conscious, self-conscious Deva units, not just a bunch of little elementals.
What did you say?
You get the prize.
What did you say to you? 140 billion.
140 billion. Billion. 60 billion human units, and 140 billion Deva units. How many of a singular type of life will there be? Because there won't be Devas and humans anymore in the next solar system.
Oh, that was 100 something, 100.
That was the previous solar system.
Oh, previous.
And you know what's interesting? What's the perfect number?
9999.
The perfect number is 6.
Yes.
The number of Shambhala, right?
Yes.
That is a perfect number. I don't know how many more there are. But if you add 1, 2, and 3, you get 6. And if you multiply 1 times 2 times 3, you get 6. Okay. So 100 billion in the first solar system, first major solar system, 200 split billion in our solar system, 140 versus 60, and in the next solar system, what do you think? How's your math? 300 billion. 300,000 million life units, which are neither deva nor human, and that's coming up. Mm. You think you can stand to wait that long?
Mm.
Okay, believe me, we're going to wait whether we want to or not. So it's really interesting, isn't it? What a huge expanse of development is laid out for the human being. But let's put it this way. The members of the new group of servers with that beam at their forehead have to guide concrete-minded humanity into a much larger conception of reality. Have you ever tormented your relatives with the baby looks?
Yes.
This was an act that I performed back on one Thanksgiving, which encouraged a very dear relative of mine to say to my home, I love you, but I do not like you.
Okay. That is nice you said.
Yeah. 50 years ago. I've never forgotten it. But you know, sometimes you actually have to tell what you think is the truth to your relatives.
Yes.
And they can be the hardest audience.
Oh, yes.
You know how it's. Did any one ever marry a concrete-minded partner? You see, I mean, it can be good, you know.
Yes.
But you know, a distressingly disbelieving, skeptical, concrete-minded. You know what I mean? Like the truth stops here. This is it. Well, the new group of world servers is going out there and shedding the light everywhere and disturbing people. I know when the master uses the word like disturb, he doesn't just mean a little trifle. He said, I love the way he said it. He says, Confucius will reappear in China and cause a disturbance. And by that he meant a big thing. You know, and you know how China likes to be disturbed, like not exactly, you know. So Confucius is now a member of the hierarchy, probably a cemetery soul or something like that, I don't know. Everything was behavior, etiquette, right relations, formality, and so forth. We're living in very exciting times, and we just have to undertake our internal esoteric responsibility, because it can help. We can act by what we think, by what we say, by what we imagine, we can. Now it's, 1925, that was the founding, and it's been gathered strength ever since. And now we are responsible in these last 5 years of the forerunner till the year 2025. See, 1965, you know what happened in 1966? That's, you know, it's like what happened 4 years ago Tuesday, you know? What happened in 1966 was that the Christ assumed the triadal vestures of the Buddha. That's a big one. You know, the Buddha left them when he went to Shambhala in very good condition, and now the Christ has got them and can work through them. What a tremendous powerhouse. Really, what happened in Palestine 2,000 years ago was just a warm-up. And what happened to John the Baptist in those days was just a warm-up for our particular work as members of the new group of world servants.
I seem to remember somewhere he's saying, you brought up the vestures, that Christ and Buddha have the same Buddhist vestures.
That would be interesting if so. I don't know, I know that something was that. That would be the vehicle through which they could blend the easiest. But remember, the Buddha is largely a third-rate monk. And the Christ is just so solidly second rate. So the ray divisions how we make it. But look, we don't know what's going on in these higher levels.
Well, because Buddhic plane, it's magic. A lot of things are magic there, you see? Like Deva, human kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a number of things.
We there's a lot of new things. And look, in just 5 years, the Tibetan is writing again. You know, right around the year 2025. Are we going to be like the Theosophical Society and, you know, accuse the amanuensis of failure?
No, no. We have to be there in front of our computer, turning into the internet and waiting.
The big hint is pink ink. Don't read pink ink. I know that I've had a friend here, put in the past tense, who felt that everything that was written about spirituality on the internet was true. Everything. Even the purple ink, you know, breakfast with Sanat this morning, you know, all that. And I just, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about that? People are in a hurry, and they don't want to go through what it takes to really get there. This is the problem. You know what I mean? I know a group, wonderful people, a lot of my friends, they think they're going to take 5 initiations at the same time. 5.
Can I ask a question? What is the thinking about vision? Can it be taken away from the will? Did I perform it correctly? Yes, I was just thinking vision and visioning. But can it be without will?
Well, I would, you know, that is a profound question, but I would say that vision definitely encourages, stirs, and strengthens the will. If it's the right kind of vision. I mean, you know, for instance, when I picked up my first book 50 years ago, it was Alistair, leafing through it, probably was a psychology book. And at the end it says basically this: we offer training in the new discipleship. You know, I thought to myself, this is exactly, as, you know, a vision before of possibilities came before me, and then it animated my will to really follow through, you know, and I'm sure we have had that. That's why will keeps you alive, and that's why they say, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, it is when you feel so depressing. Anybody see the Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
Lord of the Rings, you know, what is, I mean, amazing. This guy, anyway, remember the king who was obsessed by the white magician who turned into a gray magician who was turning into a black magician. I forget what his name. Not Saruman, but Saruman, something like that. Remember what he looked like when Saruman was inside him. You know, totally asleep and incapable of registering anything in the environment. And then along came Gandalf, who was more powerful now, and drove out the obsessor. And then what happened? It's like a new life, right? So the will had been completely subdued in that obsession. Master Moria says there's an epidemic of obsession now. And he was writing at the time before the Second World War. He says, if you don't want to be obsessed, if you don't want to be possessed, keep your heart center open and alive. That's what will drive away the quote-unquote dark obsessors. And, you know, just think of it. I mean, I'm sure that you have those experiences where the heart is so real that nothing could get in that's of an evil, you know, limited nature like that. Okay, so many wonderful pieces of advice in the Agni Yoga books. Not only psychological advice, but physical advice about how to tend to centers, how to use baking soda, how to use cedar wood, how to use deodar, all these different substances which enliven the life aspect within the person. Now, these are the kind of things that the new group of world servers have to make people aware of. There's a whole other world out there, and it's huge, and it's magnificent, and everybody's walking around saying, you know, I'm going to heaven, but you're not. You know, so it's crazy, but they really believe it. Have you seen the people? I'd be quiet. Have you seen? I get time. Have you seen the people? Let's say, I know we're not supposed to. Anyway, one of these presidential rallies.
Oh my God.
Would make America great again. I mean, you know, the expression on the faces is not encouraging.
No.
You know, I mean, it doesn't look like college material, frankly. You know, it could be. You know what I mean? But it's so scary. It's so fascistic. It's so Germany all over again. You know what I mean?
Would we like to now sound the anthem of unification?
Yes.
Or I would like. Or, I would. Listen, I know. When the handwriting's on the wall, you know what to do. So I would like to be quiet and
yeah,
have
but
you,
if you, put the,
you sound the anthem of unification.
Can you put there? Because you know, we have been gone already 25 minutes
more. How does that happen?
We've got to get going.
I'm shocked. Really?
You're amazed.
I mean, you know, there's a lot to.
Okay, anyway, this this was the day one. So because we are ending here. The next time when we are meeting when there's going to be this global silent ritual. So we invite everybody, and it's going to be at, we start 8:30 p.m. GMT.
Oh, GMT.
Yeah. So 8:30 p.m. GMT starts this ritual.
Yeah.
And
so we get that out of New York, right?
Yes, that is the link which
okay. They
have been sent.
And then we have the Moria Federation inaugural meditation, where we're going to be dealing with the new esoteric schools once again. You're welcome to join if you like. You don't necessarily have to be in school to do that. And that'll be the end.
It is, again, just the strengthening the group. And then for us next night, the morning, early morning, 4:45, I think, will start. Yes, 4:45 our time here. But that is 2:45 a.m. GMT. We start the winter solstice, Capricorn solstice ritual. And we are going to have these same things like we have in global silence, that we are going to ring the bells. So take that with you. So we continue that.
So it's going to be pretty short on sleep for a while.
It is going to be very
short. But maybe, you know, we'll find the time to rest or something. Or you can always.
White, yes, then in the ceremonies, yeah.
For the 4:45?
4:45, right? Our time. Finnish time, but 2:45 a.m. GMT.
And to wear white for that?
Yeah. So we now wish bye-bye for all of the... Oh, no, we don't. We first. We sound the mantra of unification. But Michael, maybe you say thank you for everybody who has been with us on the other side.
broad view on the other side. I thank you for attending those whose life is still informed. And for those who just simply attended, I hope to have very happy you come along and we continue. We have a lot of programs to offer you.
Yeah, actually,
after the
we
first
have...
day, we ought to know what we're doing here. Yeah. I promise not to erase to you anymore.
So tomorrow we will have then starting our program, the webinar at 12 p.m. GMT. That it, and the morning is dedicated for meditations.
Does that mean individual meditation or?
Sure, and we have here, we are going to broadcast few meditations 9:30 a.m. GMT.
On YouTube?
They go, I think, YouTube.
I found the reference. They have the same vehicles.
Okay.
Good. You want me to reread the sentence?
You read it, just a second. You know, when a DK student...
Because you want proof.
When a DK student finds the reference, few things can equal the happiness of that moment.
Can I?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I just one sentence before. When he says, I advise all disciples who seek to cooperate with the impending activity of the hierarchy to study with care the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. This was written by that disciple of love under the influence of the energy emanating from the Buddhic vehicle of the Christ, which is also, as you have been told, identical with the Buddhic vehicle of the Buddha.
That's really something.
The sons of men are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve, and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form, and mind and thought, and bring to light the love that underlies the happenings of the time. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate, and outer privileges beyond. Let love prevail, let all men love.
Okay, thank you. That's it. That's it for now, and then tonight, a couple of things. And we're going to be hitting our stride pretty soon, and it's all going to work. Even the technology under this master engineer who manages to lose half of the programming, but nevertheless, it's in the ethers. Okay.